You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in again to the Americans for Truth Hour. My name is Peter LaBarbera. I'm president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Our website is americansfortruth.org. And we're excited to have part two of our interview with Linda Jernigan. It was delayed 1 week because of scheduling things. And Linda, you're there, right?
Yes, I am. How are you this morning?
Yes. Well, we are pre-taping this show, so it is not evening, but it airs on a Saturday night, and then it will be on the website at Americans for Truth, as are all of our interviews, and people are enjoying them. They're very easy to listen to. You just go to the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right side of the website at americansfortruth.org, and we've got a lot of pro-family activists. And I'm also thrilled today that Linda is bringing in a friend, Pastor Roger Ford. We're going to hear his testimony. I just read his testimony, a bit of it. Pastor Ford, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for joining us. And folks, if you're listening for the first time, Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activist agenda, mainly in the public policy field. But we also feature things that the media doesn't cover. And one area that the liberal media is notoriously bad on covering is the existence of many people who've left homosexuality. You know, homosexuality is portrayed in the media as you're born that way, which is the common myth. It's naturally who you are. It's just a natural identity. We hear it all the time, being true to, quote, who you are. Well, you know, we know that Jesus Christ has changed many people. And he helps people overcome all sorts of sins, including homosexuality. It's that simple. And so we like to give voice to the people whose voice is ignored by the media. And it's interesting that the liberals love to talk about diversity and tolerance, but there's very little diversity and tolerance for people who've left the homosexual lifestyle. And Linda has already done one show. It's already on the website. You can listen to it there. And she has an amazing testimony. We thought she was going to be speaking at our upcoming Truth Academy, which is an academy we're holding August 5th to 7th next month at Americans for Truth headquarters in Carroll Stream. This is a Truth Academy designed to combat a lot of the misinformation that comes out of the gay activist movement. You know, we hear about born gay and the myth that 10% of the population is gay, all these things. And we're going to bring in some of the top pro-family experts from across the country to address youth and old people on this agenda. And there's a button on the website, the Truth Academy button at the upper right corner. Click that. We're trying to get scholarships for people age 15 to 24, I believe it is, or maybe 14 to 25. Anyways, young people, we don't want money to be an impediment to you going to this Truth Academy. You're going to hear from some wonderful speakers. We thought you were going to hear from Linda Jernigan, but Linda will be coming another date to Americans for Truth. And maybe someday you could come also, Pastor Ford, or maybe even attend the academy.
Mm-hmm. I would like to do that.
Well, we're going to get to Pastor Ford's testimony. But first, Linda, could you just give, again, recap, give a background, a quick background of your exit from, your exodus from the homosexual lifestyle?
Yes. Before I begin, I want to say thanks again. And then I also want to encourage everyone, you know, that if you are considering attending the academy, I strongly encourage you to do so. You will not be disappointed. You will be equipped and gain valuable knowledge and information at this academy. So please make it the adjustments in your schedule. Send your youth and your young adults because you will not be upset or let down for attending. Now, with that being said, I was involved in homosexuality. I went to church one Sunday, and I had an encounter with God that was something that I had never experienced before. And this is where God began to deal with me on the issues of homosexuality. He began to tell me and challenge me on I needed to change. And it wasn't a thing of come to me, but, you know, you can keep your homosexuality, you could keep your same-sex desires. He didn't deal with me like that. He dealt with me as if you want me, there's some requirements. But he wasn't the type of guy that was so mean and hard. He was very loving and saying, I'm going to walk through this process with you. And that's exactly what happened.
Now, Linda, you had, as we discussed in the last program, you had a very interesting entrance into homosexuality. You were essentially recruited in by an older woman who was supposed to be your mentor, and you were only 12 years old. Is that accurate?
Yes, I was about 12 or 13, somewhere around in there. I don't exactly remember, but it was somewhere around there.
And this woman who was supposed to be your mentor ended up gradually, she started talking dirty on the phone and letting you listen. And gradually she was, laying the groundwork for you to be seduced into this lifestyle.
Yes. Now I can see, you know, at my age now, which is just a couple of years beyond 13.
Are you 27 or something? How old are you, Linda? I know you're not supposed to ask a woman that.
I'm a little bit. I'm a few years out from 13.
What do I got to go? Do I have to go look at the date on the website and figure it out myself? Okay. All right. So you're older now, and you can see what happened. Is it fair to say you were recruited into lesbianism?
Yes, I would say that it was a calculated seduction. It wasn't something that just kind of happened. I can see now where she had a plan and she worked her plan. Week after week, encounter after encounter. Not only did we talk on the phone, I spent a great deal of time with her because she was my mentor and because we were supposed to be doing math and reading and almost like therapeutic, you know, like a psychotherapist type of person that she was supposed to be to me. And so we would do talking, but our talking would not consist of the things that my parents thought that we were talking about. We were talking about her sexual escapades. We were talking about my sexual desires, things like that.
So this is all going on. Your parents had no clue. They just thought you were spending time with the mentor.
Yes, and they thought that it was really being beneficial because she had influence over me, but they didn't understand why she was gaining so much influence. And even to the point where I no longer listened to them, and that's when they recognized they had a problem.
Now, do they know the whole story now? Are your parents still alive?
My mom, as you know, according to the book, my biological mom died. So when you hear me talk about my mom and dad, I'm actually talking about my aunt and uncle who raised me from the time of 3 weeks. Yes, mom is still alive, but my dad isn't.
Now, did they come to know the whole story?
Yes, they came to know the whole story.
And
they only came to know the whole story when I got saved. And I began to kind of talk and share my testimony and things like that. And now they say... they always knew it was something. They just didn't know exactly what it was. But they were very diligent in separating us after they found that I was smoking and drinking and all of that. They just didn't know about the lesbianism part.
Wow. Now, were they praying for your salvation?
Yeah, they tell me they were now, so I don't know. I believe they were, you know, because I am delivered now, but I joke them all the time and tell them they wasn't praying.
Because Pastor Ford, I read, and bring you into this conversation here, I read in the sheet that you emailed me about your life, you said, in order to pray for the unsaved, we must have a burden and a passion for their salvation.
Yes, we do.
And I thought, yeah, first of all, I was convicted because you know what the problem is? So many times when I'm in the public policy conflict realm, I'm not praying for the salvation of some of these gay activists. I need to be doing that more.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me briefly about how you came out of homosexuality. I guess also how you came in.
Well, you know, as a young man, I was raised in the church. And so, you know, you heard a lot of preaching about, you know, homosexuality, and, you know, I grew up, you know, around a lot of missionaries and pastors. And, you know, years went by, you know, even though I was struggling with homosexuality, I just didn't know how to come out of homosexuality. It was always, you know, such a terrible sin when they preached it. But as years went by, I just had this strong burden to come out of that lifestyle of homosexuality. Not only that, but it caused a lot of different things to happen in my life, like drug addiction, and, you know, the pain of homosexuality caused me to use drugs and go to bed with men that, you know, made me feel secure because I wasn't secure within myself. I met a young man at the age of 12 years old that was actually, he was 18, who worked his way into homosexuality by, you know, telling me all the good things that I need to hear, you know, the things that I wanted to hear. You know, I've always had feminine characteristics, and even in school, you know, kids used to tease me.
Can I ask you a question at that point?
Sure.
You know, you hear that's the problem. People see somebody who has maybe a feminine characteristics, and then other people label that person as a homosexual.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which opens a door.
Right.
Because that's the door that's open. This older man, he was 18, saw that I had feminine characteristics and used that to manipulate me and end up getting me into a sexual act with him in his home.
When you were 12?
I was 12 years old.
So this is incredible. You guys are both in Chicago. You both were involved in homosexuality, and you're telling me that you also were sort of this victim of a predatory seduction.
Yes, I was. I was hearing all the right things that he wanted to tell me, you know, because he was saying all the right things like, you know, you have pretty legs, you know, you're pretty, you know, all the things that I heard that made me feel good because I was getting such other negative feedback from other people. You know, you're the word that they use to describe me, the negativity, you know, the things that was negative. This man here said things that, you know, made me feel good.
So he's working the other side, and he's basically manipulating you. We're going to get into this deeper. We're talking to Pastor Roger Ford and Linda Jernigan. This is a man and a woman. Both came out of homosexuality. Both are saved Christians, believers in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful story. This is the good news, and we're glad to tell it here at Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. This is the Americans for Truth Hour, and thank you for listening. This is part two of our interview with Linda Jernigan, who's a good friend of mine and a wonderful laborer for Christ. And her guest is Roger Ford, who she met in her ministry work. These are two people who've come out of homosexuality. And, you know, I said right before the break, this is the good news. You know, as Christians, we believe in the gospel is the good news. And what a joy it is to relate the good news of how Jesus Christ has changed people. And one thing I've never understood about Christians is Christians believe anybody can change, drug addicts, alcoholics, murderers. And yet so many Christians have this block when it comes to homosexuality. Maybe it's because it's been drummed into them by the media that people are born gay and this is, quote, who they are. But they have a hard time accepting that Jesus Christ can change homosexuals. Pastor Ford, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, God can change homosexuals. But you have to understand first about your life. And I need to go back in my life first to understand why I became a homosexual. I was manipulated into it, okay? And most people that are in the lifestyle of homosexuality will not go back to where they had their first sexual experience. To me, my own opinion is this: homosexuality is introduced to you.
Interesting.
It's introduced to you because I did not, at the age of 12 years old, knew about homosexuality. I didn't really understand it or knew about it. But somebody introduced me to the act of homosexuality.
Now, what happened? You had that encounter. Did that begin a series of encounters? Or what happened from there? You're 12 years old. This guy manipulates you into doing a sinful act. What happened from there?
I continued to get involved in it. Other young men was getting involved with me. What it was that it was already in some of the other young men that was already doing it. But as time went by, I kept getting more involved in it. It was like I had received some attention, some love. I grew up without a father. I didn't have a male figure. And all this attention was given to me. And whatever way I could get this attention, that's the way that's what I did. And so men came into my life that gave me the attention that I want, and I was willing to pay the price for the attention through the sexual act.
Interesting. Now this. So you tell us about your father abandoned. What tell us about that situation?
Well, my father died when I was a very young age.
Okay.
And I was raised by my mother and my sister. And, you know, there was a you know, really, you know, for years and years, I've always had, they said, effeminate characteristics.
Now, is that because, is that, Pastor, is that because of the, I mean, is that something that you link to the, your lack of a father because he had died? Explain about that.
Well, I when I was young, I had a lot of feminine characteristics. Now, I had a brother, he was very masculine, but I had feminine characteristics. I believe it was because I picked up some of the feminine characteristics from my mother and my sister as well. You know, I was around my sister quite a lot. And, you know, I did things as a kid that I think I just admired the femininity of my mother and my sister. There was even times when I would, as a young kid, would wear my mother's clothes. And I remember a situation where my mother caught me in her clothes, and she was really upset about it. She just told me to go change her clothes. And at that moment, I was thinking to myself, that would have been a really good moment for her to question me, why would I have on her clothes, you know, discuss that. But that just absolutely just went out the window. You know, we never discussed that situation. So I had always a lot of femininity around me, and you know, just, you know, they saw the femininity part of me, and other men saw the femininity part of me, and they took advantage of that situation.
And you believe your situation would have been different had your father been alive?
Well, I think that my situation would have been different if somebody took more time with me to saw what was happening with me in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when my mother saw me in her clothes, that was a time to sit and ask me, why would you want to wear my clothes?
Right.
Or what makes you feel that you could wear my clothes?
Now you must just go nuts when you see the sort of the political correctness today, when you've got the parents and they see the son in a dress and they say, well, maybe this is who he is.
Right.
And then all the professional organizations, the liberal professional organizations say, well, you've got to affirm your son as maybe a transgender person. Tell us what you think when you see that.
There's some things, parents sometimes, there's some things that's just obvious about your children, okay? There's something that goes for femininity, drug addiction, you know, things like that. As a parent, some things we see that we just totally ignore and we don't want to question. And there is times that I think that I should have been questioned of what's going on with me. I believe my mother knew what was going on with me, but did not want to discuss the situation that was going on.
Now, did that go on when you were, you know, you had this encounter when you were 12 and you were manipulated? Did she ask questions later on in your life? Did she have any idea what was going on?
No, you know, actually, after I got to the age about around, say, 16 years old, I sat at the kitchen table to explain to my mother what was actually going on with me, because I was involved, really involved in the lifestyle of homosexuality, really, really involved in it. And I decided one day that I just wanted to sit down and discuss this with my mother. I just felt the importance to do this with my mother. And it turned out not very good at all. It really didn't turn out good. What happened was that she was very frustrated and upset. And the family was very upset about it, because my mother told the rest of the family that was going on with me. And she went back and told my pastor. And that could have been the worst situation that could have ever happened, because that particular night of Bible study, my pastor decided to preach on the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, which really was not a good situation at that time.
Now, were you in church at the time? So you were in church. I mean, did you consider yourself a Christian? Tell us about your spiritual life. What's going on there?
Well, my spiritual life, I was very, very confused, because I understood that homosexuality was a sin. That I understood. But the problem I had was how to get out of it.
Right.
That was the problem. And so I didn't have anybody to help me to get out of it. All I could hear was the stories of Sodom and Gomorrah and how sinful homosexuality was and how you was going to go to hell for it. You know, it was all of those stories. So, you know, you hid that for such a long time, even as you was in the choir, while you was in church. You try to hide it, which you really wasn't hiding, because most people could see it. But as long as you didn't confess it,
right?
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It, you know, it's okay. But once you confess it, then, you know, that's a whole total different story.
Well, now we got 4.5 minutes to break, Pastor. Tell us, how did you come out of it? And I noticed in your bio you said that you were at one point diagnosed HIV positive. Tell us about how your way out of homosexuality.
Okay.
How long were you in the lifestyle?
I was in the lifestyle for like 29 years.
29 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I came out the lifestyle because, like I said, I was in the church for the longest time and understood the Word of God. But I had such a burden to come out that lifestyle, and finally, one Sunday, I just went to church, and I heard a preacher speak, and he was speaking on sin. And he said these magical words that I will never, ever forget. He said, God loves the sinner, but he doesn't like the sin. And I needed to separate the both and understand that God loved me, but the sinful act I was committing, he didn't like.
Right.
And I came to total repentance. And the thing about that was that as many times as I've been to the altar, you know, we go to the altar a lot for different things. You know, we go back and forth to the altar, Lord, save me, save me, save me. This particular time, I said, I was not going down to this altar to God. I told him he would have to save me here and now, and I'm telling you the truth. He saved me right then and there.
So do you consider yourself born again at that point?
Yes, I was.
That before that, you were more religious.
I was more religious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that amen. You know, that's a wonderful point. And another thing you're making clear is that, you know, the condemnation and the judgment is there, but you can't just give people the condemnation.
No, you can't.
You've got to give them the hope of the gospel.
Absolutely, because the love of God is much greater than the sin.
Yes. And do you find the same thing? Now, you guys are both reaching out to other people. You're helping other people. I mean, first of all, they must see your lives, and they know that God has delivered you. That must be a powerful witness in the lives of others.
Yes,
very powerful witness.
I mean, because they know you know, you're not judging them. You lived it.
Yeah,
right. You know,
absolutely.
Because I can put the Bible aside. If the Bible is the thing that divides us,
right.
I can put the Bible to the side and talk one-on-one.
That's
personal
right.
Experience and personal experience. You going through some of the same things I went through.
That's right.
How I was able to come out of it. Let's not even discuss the Bible.
Right.
This is how I was able to stop answering the phone. This is how I was able to stop meeting and hanging out with people I shouldn't. This is how I was able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that personal testimony aspect is a huge factor because you can't deny it. You can't deny someone was a homosexual.
That's right.
With documented proof, with documented lovers. You cannot deny that for 10 straight years, they have never slept with anyone else, flirted or anything. How did you explain that other than they were delivered by God?
Now, Pastor Ford, how long have you been out?
Oh, I've been out for about around 13 years.
13 years.
Yeah, about 13 years.
Now, I got so many questions for you guys, and I'm tempted to do another show because you guys are, this is so interesting, but we got a minute and a half to break. Tell us about, I mean, in the black community, there is much more Bible, I would say, than in other communities in this country. And so is it typical that when you're reaching out that you're seeing people who know the Bible, they have no problem believing that homosexuality is a sin, but they're sort of where you were? Pastor Ford?
Yeah. Say it again. I'm so sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Did you hear that, Linda?
Yes, I heard it.
Okay, you answer.
Yes, I believe that is basically the truth, that we have a lot more religion. We have a lot less personal experience. And so simply because they can quote the Bible and they know what the scripture says, it's an altogether different thing when you're talking about embracing it as a way of life. And so that's the divide that we see.
And I think the interpretation of the Bible as well. Because people make mistakes sometimes even when they use the story of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and things like that. That's what turns a lot of people away from homosexuality, you know, turn people from wanting to come to church to be delivered from homosexuality. We find that they interpret the scripture wrong even when it comes to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah.
We'll talk more about that. We're talking to two people who've come out of homosexuality. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Well, hello, everybody. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth. I'm talking to Linda Jernigan and Pastor Roger Ford, two people both based in Chicago with Christian ministries who reach out to people who are trapped in homosexuality. Both of them have come out of the homosexual lifestyle. They have testimonies that give glory to God. And Pastor Ford, you actually work with a ministry that deals with male prostitutes. So you are heavily involved in ministering to people trapped in all aspects of sexual sin. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Tell us a little bit about that work.
Okay. Well, I work with young men that are male prostitutes, and some are male prostitutes and some are just in the lifestyle of homosexuality. And I get the opportunity to minister to them as an outreach pastor for Labors of Christ Ministries. And, you know, there's been some successful stories. You know, there's some young men that have actually turned their life around and came out the lifestyle of homosexuality.
Yes.
How rare is that? I mean, tell us, I mean, does that happen? Have you many testimonies you've heard from people or...
Well, I have one young man I have adopted, actually, that has totally came out of the lifestyle of homosexuality. And there's other young men that are really working very hard to come out that lifestyle. And the thing with that is that you have to really sit and listen to them. See, the problem is that the Bible says God will work it out for our own good. And so it takes time for you to come out that lifestyle. So I don't push them hard. When they have issues that they deal with, masturbation, the imagination, we discuss those things because that's part of coming out of that lifestyle.
Right.
So you have to really take the time with them and discuss to see the thing. We can't condemn them right where they're at. You know, if they're still doing something like maybe even masturbating or still having dreams, you can't condemn them. Those, to me, are natural things that happen, especially if you've been in that lifestyle for so long. But you have to encourage them and let them know that they need to continue to work, you know, work harder at it, and they can do it. So there are some successful stories.
Yes. Now, I have a question for you. This is sort of a politically incorrect question, but, I mean, talk about homosexuality in the black church and in the African-American community. There's a lot of talk about fatherhood issues. I mean, what is different about the homosexuality we hear about the down low compared to, say, larger culture as compared to African-American culture? Any special characteristics you see?
In the down low?
Yeah, the down low and men.
Well, you know, that's something that's been happening for years. I never understood why this became such a big issue in the first place, because for many, many years, I've been to bed with many different married men. This has just been an issue that's had come for, in the last 5 or 10 years, this new word, the download.
Yeah.
That's been something that's been out for the longest time.
So it's not a new phenomenon. It's just a word for it.
Because it's been something that married men have been doing for many years. Matter of fact, there's more married men that probably participate in bathhouses.
Yeah.
Okay? Yep. Without the wife knowing it, you know, so
and
it's
I and that,
something
that
that's been in existence for the longest time,
and that's endangering the wives, right? I mean,
sure
they,
it is.
And I think, you know, we've crusaded at Americans for Truth. We think those bathhouses in Chicago and all across the country now, you've got these bathhouses where men can go for anonymous liaisons with other men. I mean, why isn't the city of Chicago working to close those bathhouses down?
It's because it makes a profit.
Right.
You know, I mean, you'd be surprised the money those bathhouses really make.
Really? Is that finding its way back into some politician's bank account somewhere? I mean, for campaigns?
Sure.
What do you think?
I'm sure, because it's you'd be surprised the people that participate in that. That's a place, that's like, it's a club, and it's a place where you can hide, especially if you're a married man.
Yeah.
Or if you're not just a married man, maybe it's just somebody, you just want to do something without your family knowing that you're participating in any homosexual acts.
Well, do you think that a campaign could succeed if ministers got together to close some of those places down? I mean, this is not just an issue for men. This is an issue for those wives and protecting women and public health in general.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I believe they could succeed, though, Peter, but I believe that first we have to rid the perversion and homosexuality from the ministers And I believe that has been a hypocrisy in the churches.
Absolutely.
We also have ministers and pastors and ministry leaders who are preaching against this, but they are active participants when they leave the pulpit on Sundays.
Absolutely, because my one of my experiences that I had was that at the age of maybe 17, I was a director of a choir, and I was so naive because I really was trying to get my life together at that age, still struggling with homosexuality, and I met a bishop. And I thought that he had interest in me and what I was doing as director of a choir. I found out within a week or two later, it wasn't that he was interested in me about directing a choir, but he was interested in me.
Wow. What denomination? Was this a Pentecostal?
This is Pentecostal. And he manipulated me to the point that I began to have a relationship with this man, to the point he even showed me how to take an offering. By putting money in my pocket, say, here, I'll give you $100. And when I say ask for $100, I want you to be the first one to stand up so that would send a chain reaction through the church. So he showed me all the tricks, and I spent about around a year with him. And then how we really broke up that relationship was that he was messing around with another young man that was in the choir who we ended up both of us on our way to a club, and he began to tell me this secret that he had, and he explained to me was the person that I was dealing with, that he was dealing with as well.
Now, how old was this pastor? And he was married, I assume.
Oh, he was 28 years old.
Was he married?
No, he was not married at all.
Okay, so both of you are saying that there's a lot of hypocrisy in the church, and it sort of presents an interesting situation because the black church is known as much more outspoken, for example, on issues like gay marriage than I would say. There's no such thing as the white church or the black church, of course. I'm talking generalities here. But the morality, when you see votes, you see African-Americans vote strongly against gay marriage.
Yes.
In fact, they carried the vote in California. They helped carry it out there. And yet you're saying that there's this undercurrent of down low. I assume it's not just homosexuality, but sexual sin on the down low.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And I believe that we progressed into that because we didn't deal with other sexual sins, such as fornication and adultery.
Exactly. Right.
Now, is it getting a lot better? Is it just where it always was? Is it still remains a huge problem?
You know, I believe that it's getting better now, thank God. That ministries like mine and Pastor Forrest is being welcomed now.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's such a cry, not coming from the podium, but it's a cry coming from the audience that's
right.
Saying, we want to come out of this, but we don't have a way to do it. And so I have pastors contacting me now saying, well, Linda, you know, come and teach my leaders. You know, how do we minister to homosexuals? What are the tools that we need to give them, not to just preach to them on Sundays, but how can we walk with them to ensure that they make it through the entire process? So I believe that it is getting a lot better. You know, praise God for that.
Yes.
Now, Linda, tell us about that process of walking through. How do you do it? Is it getting into the Word? Is it special sessions? What do you tell those people when you meet with them?
All of the above. It's the same process you go through if you quit drinking or quit smoking.
That's right.
Or quit using drugs. It's all of the above. You have to apply the Word of God. You have to pray. You have to go through struggle and sacrifice. You go through, do I really want to do this or not? You know, you go through times of failure, times of successes. You know, you need people to talk to, people to vent with. You know, you need the entire full gamut. It's the same process of going through any other form of deliverance.
And submission.
Right.
Yes.
I had to really
submit my life to Christ.
You had to get serious.
I had to become very serious and submit my life to Christ.
But in a sense, you were born again late, and so you were like a newborn child in the faith.
Yes, I was.
Right. And did you encounter a lot of resistance in the homosexual world when you were pulling away from that?
You know, there was a lot of people that didn't really believe that I was delivered at first. I was going to a church, and they really didn't believe it. You know, they heard that I was delivered, but the people didn't really believe it. So I had a lot of resistance to it. I had a lot of resistance from friends. I had to give up a whole lot of friends that I knew was in that lifestyle. I had to actually change, you know, my thought pattern. I had to change friendship. I had to spend a whole lot of lonely time, time by myself with God.
Now, Pastor Ford, you also had HIV, and when did you find out about that?
Well, I found out about HIV when I was in 72, something like that. 80, no, about, let me see, what was it? 78 around. 98, I found out I was HIV positive. I was with a young man that I was with for about almost 15 years, something like that. And he died from AIDS. And it took me years after that before I even gave my life to Christ. It was not, that wasn't the subject that caused me to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I still was struggling with homosexuality. I was still struggling to get my life together, but that was not the thing that turned me to God.
What is your status now? I mean, how is your health?
Well, right now, my T cells is over 600, which is good, and my viral load is undetectable.
Amen.
And I weigh about 200 pounds.
Oh.
Wow.
And
I've
been HIV positive over 20 years now.
Well, praise God. That's awesome. Now, do you have, both of you, do you know a lot of people who have become ill or even died, practicing homosexuals? I mean, we especially the men, obviously, I'm talking about, but this is not a healthy lifestyle.
No, it's not a healthy lifestyle. It's not a healthy lifestyle. I met a lot of young men that have perished from HIV and AIDS, and it's a very sad thing. But there's a lot of young men that have passed away from HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, it must be just a tough thing. But you've been out for a long time now, and what is the first thing you tell? We got 30 seconds. We're going to have to come back, I guess. But I want to learn more about your approach and your encounters. So many people don't know what to say to a person practicing homosexuality. We're talking to Linda Jernigan, and we're talking to Pastor Roger Ford. Linda Jernigan's website is rescuinghomosexuals.net. Pastor Ford is with Laborers for Christ Ministries. We're talking on the Americans for Truth Hour here. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. Everybody, and welcome back to Americans for Truth Hour. We're in our final segment of our interview with Linda Jernigan and Pastor Roger Ford, two Christians who've come out of the homosexual lifestyle, and they are witnessing to people to join them in leaving this lifestyle. I want to say that if you want to reach Pastor Ford, you can do that through email. His email is FordGlore, as in the car Ford, glory but without the Y, FordGlore@AOL.com. One more time, that's FordGlore@AOL.com. You can reach Linda Jernigan at rescuinghomosexuals.net. That's rescuinghomosexuals.net. If you are in this lifestyle, if you want out of this lifestyle, if you're the only one who knows you want out of this lifestyle, you can come out. We serve a great God who has helped so many people come out of not just this sin, a lot of sins. And we who are sinners, we cannot, we cannot say we are better than anybody. I did not struggle with this sin, but I struggle with many myself. And it's the grace of God that draws people and pulls them out of things and things they're struggling with. So I would encourage you to reach out to Pastor Ford and to Linda Jernigan. These are two wonderful people who've devoted their lives to helping others leave the lifestyle. Pastor Ford, I had said, and quickly, I had one more point. I want to remind people about our Americans for Truth Academy. It's August 5th to August 7th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday in August, the first week. It's going to be outside Chicago. We have scholarships for youth. It's going to be a wonderful seminar in which we are grounding people on how to respond to the public policy questions surrounding this issue. We face a powerful homosexual activist movement which seeks to glamorize homosexuality, celebrate it in the culture, the very opposite of what Pastor Ford and Linda Jernigan are doing. We're trying to give people the answers to the questions. So I'd encourage you to come to that and contact us through the website, sign up. It is americansfortruth.org. There's a button on the right side, Truth Academy, americansfortruth.org. Pastor Ford, we have 7 minutes here left. What would you tell somebody when you find somebody you believe is serious about leaving the lifestyle? What's the first thing you tell them?
I tell them the same thing that somebody told me, a pastor told me. He told me that God has great things for me and a great purpose for my life. And I tell young men today that God has a great purpose for their lives besides homosexuality, that he formed us in his image and he has great things for them. And I tell you something, that works all the time with young men because young men need to know the purpose that they have in life. As a man, they need to know the purpose that they have in life.
Yeah, and
it,
you know,
really works with them. And they and then one of the young men I told that to today, who's now at this moment has been delivered, sat with me no longer than about maybe about a month ago and said, "You know, Pastor Ford, now I understand what you're saying." Now today he's teaching other young men how to come out of drug addiction and the lifestyle of homosexuality.
What was he a long time in the lifestyle?
Oh, he was in it for a long time. Matter of fact, he was a male prostitute.
Wow. Praise God. That
and
is
he's
just
out of it now, and he, now he's going around teaching at different NA meetings and everything.
Now, was it a big struggle for him?
Yes, it was.
Did you know he was when you saw him for the first time, did you sense a seriousness, or was it a long process?
He was homeless. He had a lot of medical issues that was going on with him. He dropped out of school, and now today he's got his GED. He's going to the doctor. Things are changing around for his life. So he's doing things. It was a struggle for him. It was really a struggle. I used to speak with him at least once to twice a week about some of the issues that he had to struggle with in that lifestyle. But he came through them.
Well, I just thank God for your ministry work in the lives of these young men, and all who are listening, who are Christians, can offer up prayers for your work. Linda, same question for you.
Yeah, pretty much I go with the peace and love factor because I understand how tormenting homosexuality is. Not from the news media. I'm saying the torment the individual goes through when they are by themselves. And so one of my evangelistic hooks in dealing with homosexuals is, if there was a way for you to be free, and you will be free forever, would you accept it? And more likely they say things like, "I know that can't happen, so I don't even think about stuff like that." I'm saying, no, I understand that. But I'm saying, let's just say, for the sake of supposing, if it was a way for that to happen, not for you to just stop having sex, but for the inner desires and all of that to be transformed, would you accept that? On every single occasion when a person has engaged me in that conversation, their answer has been yes. Because people want out of the lifestyle, they just don't know how to get out. And they believe that, they know they can stop having sex. They know they can abstain from sex. But what they don't know is their inner desires can be transformed by the power of God. And that's what I offer them. I offer them the peace factor of God and the reality that God can change your innermost desires if you submit to the process.
Right. It's the humility of submission. You talked about that too, Pastor Ford.
Yes, I did.
People have to submit their will. I mean, I asked Linda, I think, this last time we talked, but Pastor Ford, you must have heard people who said, "Well, I prayed and nothing happened."
Right.
What's your response to the man who, or woman who says that?
Well, you know, God does answer prayer. But like I said before, you really have to submit yourself to God and allow him to take control and have his way in your life. Because what happens, we want to have our way, but we must change it to his way. And it's a process, but it can be done.
Now, I'm just taking a question we hear, a cynical question. Oh, are you still attracted to men? That's often asked of people who claim to have left the homosexual lifestyle. How do you answer that question?
Oh, no, I'm not attracted to men, but you know, when somebody told me something, it's all right to find another man attractive as far as the way he looked, but it's how far we take that situation.
Right.
Because I can see another man being an attractive man, a handsome man, but the thing with that is that you don't allow it to go beyond that.
Right.
See, we allow it to go, homosexuals allow it to go beyond that. Then you want to have the desire to go to bed with them because you find them attractive.
Yeah.
But it's all right to find a man attractive. God created beautiful-looking men and beautiful-looking women.
Yes. There are boundaries in life that God has established.
Sure there is.
And it's you know, in every area, not just this area, and it's like our culture wants to say, you know, do away with the boundaries, and there's chaos when that happens.
That's right.
Linda, did you meet Pastor Ford through this work?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I believe he contacted me after reading a book, and then him and I started doing a conference. His church, his ministry, does a conference every November. And so when he contacted me, then I invited me up to the conference, and since then we have been connected.
Did you ever dream you'd be doing this work, Linda, for you know, in your career? I mean,
Of course not. I thought I would probably be a teacher somewhere doing something else. So, no, I had no idea that I would be doing this type of work. And I also wanted to add, because I don't know if we mentioned this part, that Pastor Ford has a lovely wife that God has joined him with, and they are both in the ministry and doing an awesome work for the Lord.
That's awesome. Do you have children, Pastor Ford?
Yes, I do, but it's not from this marriage. I have a son that's actually 38 years old, but it's not from this marriage.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's just I want to have more time to talk with you. We maybe do in the future do another interview, but I'm learning a lot. I think the culture has a lot to learn. I wish the media would take the time to do a story. You know, I think you guys ought to be on the Oprah show, you know? Maybe we could pray for that one, you know? I get so tired of the talk.
I would love to do that with Linda.
Yeah, you know what? Let's listeners, go ahead and write Oprah. Ask them to have on Linda Jernigan and Pastor Ford. They're from her hometown in Chicago. These are the type of people America needs to see. But, you know, the powers of political correctness that keep people like this down. Thank you both for being on the show. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. We talked with Pastor Roger Ford. You can reach him at FordGlore@AOL.com. That's FordGlore, no Y, @AOL.com. Linda Jernigan with Rescuing Homosexuals.net. I'm Peter LaBarber with Americans for Truth. Find out about our Americans for Truth Academy August 5th to 7th. There's a button on the right side of the website at AmericansForTruth.org. Please go out and stand for truth in this culture. It sure needs it. God bless you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.